region as far as the, and that until next month when we get that information back. But in the meantime, if you send an email to
I'll double check my records. I think I have them, and I, if we do, I can send them to the committee.
Before we get started, I think Joe is on the phone. Joe, are you there?
He was.
But we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We've got a four. And just so that before we can get number four around, introduce ourselves. And so thanks for the podcast. Thank you, by the way.
No need a compass to find out where to hack.
I'm on the far side.
Let me start. Of course, I think you've gotten correspondence with our liaison, the governor's office here. This is our first meeting under ADOA. And I want to welcome him. And I know he's already been in the fire practice here. Start with Chris. You want to start off with just to say a few words, and then we'll go around and we can do the other way.
Sure.
Since
I'm next on the agenda, if you want everyone else to go, and then
yeah,
I can begin to talk.
Yeah,
that sounds perfect.
Okay.
Oh, thank you.
So.
Oh, me. Dave Rutenberg, peer support specialist, certified advocate. And a client of both Law Frontera and Kodak.
Melissa Bond, that's where name is changing. It's going to be Arizona Complete Health.
Arizona
Complete Health.
Yeah,
that's fine. I can speak louder so you can hear me.
I'm Connie Stevenson, and I'm a teacher for NAMI and a family member.
By the time I'm the
vice chair.
Oh, vice
chair. You've got to run away from
the animal. I'm running. Michelle Pinos, I am representing Kodak. I'm in the Quality Management Department.
Ken Girls.
Oh, I'm Judy Cole. I thought you were going to say something about yourself.
Oh, okay. I'll be the chair. I'll go in the chair.
I talked about you last week.
No, don't.
Joyce Tracy. Sorry. I'm Judy Kowalik. I'm a family member, and I work part-time at NAMI. I coordinate all the NAMI family classes, train the teachers, and train the support group, family support group facilitators. The CIT liaison. I'm on this committee.
Yeah, I'm Paul. I'm just a client and assistant. Yeah, and just interested member of the community.
So just so I'm aware, which one of all of you are members except for Melissa?
Okay,
so we have five members here.
And we have Joe on the line.
Joe, are you? I just want to make sure we have a quorum for the record.
Yeah.
How many members do we need for a quorum of the six?
We have it now, five.
Five?
One,
okay.
Two, three, four, five.
Five here and one on the phone, and Jason will be here.
Okay.
Yeah. In about 20 minutes.
I forget how many members your committee had, so I apologize.
I just crashed.
Okay.
Is this not calling me?
She's working on that, so I called this morning and she'll try to get on. Okay, so turn it over to you.
Yeah, well, just a little bit about me. First of all, thank you very much for welcoming me in so nicely. I really appreciate it. My name is Chris Komenich. I've been with the state and with Department of Administration specifically for about 4 years. I am an attorney with the department, but I'm not here in capacity as an attorney. I'm here as an administrator. So, sorry, I can't help you with any parking tickets that you get. So I know that there's been. First of all, I apologize for all of the confusion surrounding this meeting. It'll be a adjustment period for all of us. So I really do appreciate your patience and for making it here today. I imagine you have a lot of questions about the transition to ADOA. So I won't go on for too long, but I did just want to touch on a couple things. More in terms of background. So in case not all of you are aware, these independent oversight committees or human rights committees, they don't just apply to access and behavioral health issues. Also, we have a committee for the state hospital, which I'm sure most of you are aware of, but there are also six committees related to Department of Economic Security and the Developmental Disabilities Division. And we're also putting together a committee for the Department of Child Safety. So overall, right now, we have 11 committees we're managing. Wow. And I think that'll be a good thing in the long term, because we want to take best practices that you all use here with your committees, and also good ideas that DES committees might be using, and then try to merge them all together and get a some nice uniformity in that regard. So. More just interested to see what questions you might have for me.
Personally, I'm just curious about the basics of the management of who does you take care of our agenda and or our minutes and or who does that now?
Well, I'm responsible for that now, and we want to work, with your committee to decide, the best way to manage that. Because ultimately, this is your committee. We're administering it, and you're part of the Department of Administration, but, it's still up to the chairman and the rest of the members to decide what direction you want to take the committee. So,
somebody typing up the minutes and somebody that's what we've been working with.
Yeah. It's
kind of a support.
We will handle all of that support except for the minutes, and that's not because I'm lazy. it's because there have been a lot of issues with other committees in terms of in terms of how the minutes were drafted and were they sufficient in one regard? Were things left out? Should things have been put in? And quite frankly, we don't want to get involved in that. We don't want to be in conflict with you on anything like that. So our position is basically, at least unless someone just joined the meeting.
You get the hit button.
Susan, Jason,
hello.
Is that Susan or Joe?
Is that you, Joe?
Hello.
Yep, that's Joe.
Okay, stay on. So we got more.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm getting the sense of you there too, so we got more than one.
So.
We're started.
Yeah, Joe, can you hear us? Joe?
I can barely hear you talking, Ted.
Okay.
We want to like try to move the tables down. That would be a test. The phone is pretty in the stationary.
I'm back in college.
And these are not, I take it these are not live, right?
No, those are connected to the.
The tip distance.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're coming closer, Joe.
Okay, Joe. Better?
Warmer? Hello, Joe.
Warmer, warmer.
Can you hear me?
George Bush, I can hear you now.
Okay.
All right.
That's what happens to me when I do it by phone. I can't get even with the other one. Well, we're the host, I guess.
It's a different setup.
Yeah, that is a
what?
Let me try something for my cell phone. But we can multitask here. So as I was saying, those are kind of the two options we're thinking with regard to the minutes to satisfy the open meeting law is number one, what other committees are electing to do is simply we take the audio recording of the meeting and post that online. And then there's no debate about what happened. Everyone can hear, you know, what occurred at the meeting. Okay. The other option would be if you do want minutes, then you know your committee would have to appoint a secretary and draft those yourselves. Like I said, it's just we don't want any conflicts in that regard.
But then will we be provided a copy of those minutes that are typed from the recording?
There wouldn't be any written material. It would just be the audio recording.
Can you have to have a special program if you could download it to convert it to text? If you needed
to. Hey, Chris.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Listen, my name is Joe Mashensky. I know that things are changing there, but I'm just curious. Can you tell me how this committee was set in place to replace the Human Rights Committee, which is mandated by the Arizona Revised Statute?
Yes, good question, Joe. So this committee doesn't really replace the Human Rights Committee. It's the same committee for the most part. It's just the name has been changed to Independent Oversight.
My concern is now you're talking about minutes and not getting a secretary and stuff like that. We've been running along here for 20 plus years of following up the Arizona Revised Statute. And the requirement that they provide us with the clerical support. Now, from what I've just heard, barely heard, there's going to be no clerical support, and you're proposing that we put the minutes, a video copy of the minutes, online. That seems a little outrageous to me. There's going to be 2 hours of talking and talking when the minutes are only supposed to be a recap of what happened.
I understand that, so that's why, as I said, if your committee wants to appoint a secretary and do the minutes, then you're more than welcome to do so.
Yeah, but my point is that it's not the committee's responsibility to appoint the secretary. It's the Arizona's access now to provide us with, if they're still a human rights committee, a person to listen to and take notes.
I don't know. Does anyone else on the committee have thoughts on that?
I think we should be appointed someone to do our clerical work, yes.
Yes.
Well,
Joe, person
on the committee, in my opinion, cannot give full attention to what's going on and take notes.
Right.
That's my concern.
That's true.
That's
basic learning.
Not to relate to, then even legally, you want to post it, so we can't post 2 hours of audio.
Oh yes,
you can. You can do anything, really.
Yeah, but we don't want to listen to 2 hours of audio to find out what happened.
We're going to review it next month.
My question is, what happened to this following the Arizona Revised Statute from having a Human Rights Committee? You say that you're not replacing it. So what happened to the Human Rights Committee?
The Human Rights Committee is renamed the Independent Oversight Committee. Authority for the committee was transferred from Access to the Department of Administration.
Was that done through the Arizona Revised Statute?
Yes. There's a bill, Senate Bill 1450. It went into effect August 3rd.
And did it not include the information that was in the old bill?
The process of minutes is not covered by the Human Rights Committee statute. It's covered by the Arizona Open Meeting Law. And under open meeting law, committees have the option of posting minutes or a recording of their meetings. As I said, position we're taking with regard to minutes is largely because of difficulties that the Maricopa HRC has had and the State Hospital HRC has had with regard to disputes over the content of minutes and what should be included and what should not be included. That has led us to the conclusion that it is not a good idea for state staff to be taking minutes and that it should be left to the committee because ultimately it should be your determination as to what should be included in minutes. So that's why I gave the option that if you don't want to do minutes, then we can post the audio recording and still be in compliance with law. I understand your frustration and the potential difficulties, but this is kind of the reality that we're facing given the current legal climate. There have been, to be frank, there have been threats of litigation over what's been included in committee minutes and what has not been included in committee minutes.
Litigation by by person, but by which body is litigating?
The idea would be that I don't necessarily want to get into the specifics of it, I'm aware that. It's become such a point of consternation up in Maricopa County that there have been lawyers involved in the process. And like I said, we don't want to focus on the bureaucracy of it. We want to support you in the work you're doing with regard to the oversight. We don't want to get bogged down in the meeting. So if you would like me to take minutes for this meeting while we settle on a solution going forward, yeah. I'm happy to do that. But long term, I don't see that as a sustainable option.
Let's maybe in the interest of time and while you're here, you could agree to do that. So we'll have some, maybe can help you as far as the names and all that's present here. We'll have something for the record that we did meet and we did not have our minutes. At least that could be something. And then we could get into the mechanics of this certainly between now and our next meeting, if that's okay for everyone.
It's a very valid, and just for your historical knowledge, we've had this conversation, which is very handy, and we all go through it and go, okay, cool. Historically, this committee has not had any litigious thoughts that I've ever heard of. I mean, we just go through it, it's summarization, we approve, make a few typo errors, and then we're good to go and vote it in. I mean, it's a very, very simple process.
I have all the minutes. I appreciate that. And
it's much appreciated only because, yeah.
This is not a, I'm the person you're interacting with, but this is, a department-wide thing. So there are certain mandates that, I'm not the director of the department, right? So there are certain mandates that I've been given that I have to achieve. So like I said, in the interest of moving forward, I'm happy to do minutes for this meeting, but we will need to work on a more long-term solution because that's not going to be sustainable, past this month.
Can I just get clear in my own head?
Mm-hmm.
Are minutes required?
No.
It's an open meeting, and yet there are no minutes required.
No, as long as you have a recording.
Yeah, no, I know. But I mean, in terms of the being available to the public, that's what they would do. They would have to tune in to whatever
website
audio
and
we
audio
have.
And
we would have to point them to that.
Well, we have to point them to our written minutes online, too. But I understand what you're saying. There's no way I'd sit and listen for 2 hours.
Amen.
Yeah.
Or when we would want to review our minutes. Yeah. So that would mean.
And it helps remind us what we have to do.
2 hours.
So let me interject. I think,
okay.
I think Chris is. Yeah. So you have, approximately 11 committees under your belt, so to speak. I mean, so these other 10 committees, counting, minimize us. how this has been presented.
It's been presented to the majority of them.
Haven't been good at the time. It's just started, you know, except for August. Is that the case in all the other committees? They've said they're going to do their own minutes. In other words, DD, children, corrections, state.
Yeah, yeah. I believe one of the DD committees elected to do their own minutes. The others are going to be moving to audio recording.
Okay. So what we're going to do is then maybe in the interest of time, I'd like, you know, get some, reread the, this is a piece of legislation we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This is 1450. I think some of you have copies and I get copies of that. Mm-hmm. And I think the issue of it becomes broader than just us in the sense of getting generic support for the continuity of this and that. And I realize you're not here, but you know, you can't just write checks and hire staff right here this afternoon, this morning. Why not get started here, and then in the meantime, then I can and others can figure out how we might get some support from the state or how we might bridge that. Because, like I said, if you have 11 of these, it's going to be quite a lot.
Yeah, and like I said, I'm happy to provide support in whatever way we can. I mean, we want to help with recruitment. The minutes thing is not a staffing issue as much as a legal issue. The department doesn't, and I understand, you know, I appreciate your statements that you won't be litigious or anything, but the department does want to stand clear of any sort of concerns from that standpoint. So, we'll work through it. I appreciate your offer, Dr. Carroll.
So, in the interest of time, and I would refer it to the beginning of the next meeting, including a proper room assigned, and then also want to get into if we change the date to accommodate your schedule to a different day, so we can refer that to folks the end of the book. Okay. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, because I do have a follow-up suggestion, but I'll wait on that. On this particular thing, one of the columns that I always like is a follow-up action.
Yeah.
And who's responsible? Maybe we could find a way to sort that out from our meetings. What are the follow-up actions that we're expecting from our discussions today? And who is responsible for follow-up? Just something that simple. Take that out.
You don't set up a mechanism
to
capture that.
Yeah.
You get 2 hours of verbal exposure, but nothing. I think I know some of the issues you're dealing with Maricopa County, and that's not the case over here, of course, and some other discussion, but I'm pretty. That's the case. So, we can take some notes here, and then we can still bring up our follow-up.
Chris?
Yes, sir.
Are you still there?
Yes.
If this is just the quality of the audio, I can't hear a thing that's going on.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I apologize.
You're talking to you.
I apologize. As the meeting host, I did sign in. So you're telling me that the meeting is
not hosted?
I think the issue is that I'm a lawyer, so I'm talking louder than everyone else. So that's probably why you can hear.
The issue is that I'm wasting my time sitting here because I can't hear anything.
Let me try one more time.
Yeah, why don't we just, Joe, can you hear me? Joe?
No.
Ferris?
PD Ferris.
Let's just use as best we can.
Yeah, it's...
Quite well, this meeting left, we adjourn, Chris and I are going to walk around the building here. Okay, wait for Jason as far as he's going to be out later, right, for you guys. Tommy and Bud as far as the business and the updates on that.
Working on it. People are just going to ask them everybody. And this is kind of not the one that the students need to do.
Yeah, I haven't even worked out a lot, so I push it.
Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access code or meeting number followed by...
This is a hard group to get interested in.
Yeah, even though we've had a podcast, what Judy's been kind of looking to get is the Nami, you know, we have our little insert.
Yeah, yeah.
The Nami thing.
Yeah.
Which gets exposure, so a lot of people read Nami, parents... That's how we got Dorothy here.
Yes.
So bottom line is to keep that up.
Well, June was supposed to come too. She was very interested. June from my previous class. She really wanted to be part of the HRC and we needed to follow up.
So if everybody could go out and meet here, I'm going to try to recruit one person at least interested.
Well, I've got a question with regard to that because in my faraway brain, I remember that there was some discussion about rewriting the charter or whatever it's called.
Bylaws.
Yeah.
Me and I were starting to work on that.
Yeah, so,
she had to do the annual.
And we had some question with regard to how many people actually were to be on the committee. The original said
15.
Up to 15, I believe.
That's correct.
And so, you know, I'm still kind of in a state of where are we with that?
It's still 7, no less than 7, but more, no more than 15.
We're still there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
no less than 7.
Well, we'll
no
help, I think, before we leave, and I'll see if I can cajole the people in this building make copies because this is not. We didn't get, I got one copy of 1450 from Lucille when she was leaving, and I think it would help us all if we had copies of this bill so that we could then have 40 of them.
I see Dana sent out like 4 links, and I printed out the entire, like 600 pages of the entire.
So perhaps we can, before we leave here, I'll talk to somebody in Ambit or somebody with me. Copies of this so that you could answer your question.
Well, yeah, that was one of my concerns. I didn't know if that activity was still ongoing. And I guess it's not. Is that my understanding?
Amy and I had to drop because she had to get done the annual and I was testifying something, so it kind of was left open.
Okay, so it's still very much an open item. Is what I'm understanding.
The answer is it's an open item. Okay. Let's move on.
Yeah.
So, as far as outreach days, do you have any?
Yes. I went to 2 Transportation Department Depot meetings because everybody's been complaining about transportation, and I know a few of the drivers are in a lot of the companies, and I found out and I gave information to Michelle on why there's such an issue with transportation, and since the complaints don't seem to really be helping out too much, it's more negative with the drivers than anything else. But basically, it comes down to is that when a case or behavioral health coordinator or whoever calls in, it goes to an operation center for that particular transportation company, and they get all the information. The problem is that the drivers only get this little text message that gives barely an address, no contact information, and they have to drive around the building to see if somebody's out there waiting, like Veo. And also there's 2 different systems they're using. One's a token, So let's say if somebody's waiting on Speedway in Craycroft, but the next person up on the running is in Sierra Vista, and yet there's another driver stay down on Alvernon, they're not going to call that driver on Alvernon. They're going to wait for that other person from Sierra Vista to come up, and that wastes time, money, energy, and everything else. And the other one is if they cross boundaries, like if you're going from the northeast to the southwest, that's crossing three different boundaries. And they don't want to, they're not allowed to do that.
So
in a sense.
They're contracted.
That was the one thing they weren't discussing. They said that I would have to be in legalese because that's a contract. They wouldn't allow me to have that information.
No. I'm not asking a copy of the contract, but just simply who paid it.
Well, they get paid by Sympatico and any other, or the insurance.
So you have a meeting with them. So can you have a future meeting with them?
I could. They were surprised. I was asked by a couple of the drivers I know to come because, according to them and their immediate supervisor, nobody from the upper brass, as they put it, has ever gone to the bullpen, as they call it.
So you have the upper brass here. I think one of the things we brought up last month was like Sympatico always, or whatever. No, obviously, you go to a lot of meetings throughout the month. And really
yeah, I keep, I try to keep her.
Yeah, and since then, I know we keep each other informed, but both can't be, you know, in the same car going to all these meetings. So if there's someone that, just so that Michelle is aware.
Melissa? Yeah.
I have about 10
M's.
Mary, Michelle, Melissa.
No, I've been sending you stuff on like incidents that have occurred at
okay, so
if
it's her
Kodak,
I'm
going
to forward it to Michelle. I know that she's tried to get a hold of you, and sometimes I get a hold of you.
So, as a follow-up, is there some way we can...
I can check in with Ryan Thompson, who leads the transportation issues, and I understand transportation has been an issue for the longest time, and I can find out like what types of remedies they're looking into.
Okay. Is that
also the one thing is that the drivers are independent contractors, so they can either take credit, they have the choice of taking either credit card or cash or whatever, or vouchers. And the problem with the vouchers is you have to do a whole bunch of paperwork at the end of their shift, and they don't get paid or the credit for a few more days or a week or whatever later. And so versus the cash where they get it basically instantaneously.
Okay. So we'll have that as a follow-up the next month as far as so that can be.
Okay,
any other comments on that? Otherwise, we'll move on and then in terms of transportation. Yeah.
No, that was it on the transportation. And I went to two different companies and they have totally different systems.
Okay. And understand there's individual companies, but at least responding to this generic issue about being a little more efficient than students and hanging and eating and then serve this thing.
Right.
This is okay. Accidents were. You can make a copy of that.
Yes, I made a copy of just the first 67 cases because I wasn't going to print out. And if you notice, these are they're now broken down into accident into the actual event. Not that's why I missed them. I am only looking at deaths. And also for death, there's this is all that you now get to see on the portal. Now I printed out these screen copies.
You have more copies than just one?
Oh yes, I've got like 16 pages of them.
Of the same?
No, they're different ones.
But you can't.
You can't go down in and...
Oh, you can review the copy. You can I have the ability to download the PDF, open it, and then just say I reviewed. But I cannot, if I have comments or anything else, there's no, according to Amy's notes, there should be a capacity, or she had a capacity to be able to, if she had a comment
request
or question,
request
for more information, there was a sheet or a button or whatever, and there is nothing on the site to do that.
Who's maintaining this now?
That was another question.
So access.
I know, but we're not part of access now.
Well, we're still going to have to get stuff from them, and you guys will still...
We're talking about, Chris, just to kind of relate, this is, of course, evolved into the computer, and so it just needs to get handwritten and, of course, typed. Incident accident reports in depth, and particularly the depth reports that we're focusing on, whether the circumstances are not clear or it's unusual, and then report back.
If you want to see one.
Okay. Is this all redacted and everything?
That's just the title.
I'm not going to violate.
You don't have to worry.
We're not going to show you something you're not allowed to see.
Everything we get is so redacted that even...
It doesn't make sense.
The name of the page.
There's only two paragraphs in the whole thing. Everything else is didacted.
Redacted.
Bottom line is, it makes it even less validity of this because you don't know how much has been redacted. We're supposed to get information redacted as far as just the identity issue. In other words, the person's name or date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
But as you can see, this is so vanilla that you can't even, there's not much here to.
Yeah.
In other words, the cause of death. Or,
and all I can do is download the PDF, review it, and if I wanted to say I reviewed it, I can check it. But that's all I can. The one I picked up, I had questions on, but there was no way. And I'm not going to download every one I get, because that's like 7 or 9 pages. And unless I get money for doing that, that's expensive with ink and everything else.
Sure.
So, and Amy did have, because she had full access, she had a way through the portal of sending that stuff in. I don't have that access.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're aware that that's a concern that some committee members have, you know, statewide. So, you know, we'll work with access in terms of the information given. Ultimately, you know, there's nothing in that bill that requires. We can't tell access what to do. In other words, it's their information. It's their data, but we're certainly aware of the concern, and you know, we want to work with them on that.
Because basically, this is useless. I mean, if I can't, or anybody else that's assigned that can't, if I have questions and there's no way, I mean.
I'm going to slide into Chris when time comes. I used to do seclusion restraints when I could see something. Those have gone to the wayside.
Yeah.
It was impossible online, and then I got a summarization that was a nightmare. If you could ever add that to your list, I would love to see those again. They were really important because we were tracking the use of our chemical restraints when it was out of line. We would, you know, want to know about it, and also to see where it blatantly made clear that they needed trauma-informed care at these sites, because it just led through the report.
Do you recall when you stopped getting those reports?
A couple of years.
It's been a while. I was seeing some in early spring, sort of, but again, very, very hard to get to. Very, very hard.
And then they also said that they switched, they changed the servers, that the SNRs were put on a different server that we didn't have access to, and the portal was not part of that.
You know, and they were easy to, you know what I mean, to read, with redacted to death, that we could still tell if there were issues. If you could see them, but there was never seen them.
Well, especially like in the young adults.
Yeah.
There was repeat
acting out of an adult over and over, sometimes 200 times a day or several days a week, and they didn't talk about treatment plans changing or anything like that.
I had 7 reports on this one individual that I still have nightmares over. I wanted to reach out, but it was somebody that is, but anyways, if any help with that would be most appreciated.
Yeah,
so
certainly.
It's really important thing that needs to have.
Yeah, I think we'll get more depth as far as the role of this committee vis-a-vis access, because we do have some, in other words, it's not up to us to tell access, it's up to us to ask access to deliver this to the group. And if we're not telling them how they should run their business, we're asking them, this is, they're doing business, and it's the business of this group to extract, find out what is going on in terms of the services. And gradually is pulling back.
Mm-hmm. And he did admit it.
It's not just a Pima County, it's all over.
And he did admit, but doing it by paper in the old days was easier than what I'm dealing with, and I'm a techie.
Yes.
Well, also,
it was better.
The thing that is so vulnerable here is that when you've got the bureaucracy, they can redact, and change or whatever, whereas when we were getting hard copies, basically illegal to change and then alter or remove the things. And so the idea of not catch you or gotcha was a matter of trying to, you know, get at the source, because the prompt is the whole issue about the deaths was that several, 4 of them all had a series of associated with diabetic condition. So that led this group to kind of go and dig in deeper. But I won't go into more depth than that. But that's what the core of this group is.
No, and yeah,
and there are tons of reports. I only printed out 1 page.
Yeah,
and there's over 67 pages.
Yeah, I think you know, a big thing, not to get off track, but I think it's related to this, is that the I've been reviewing the statutes related to these committees over the past weeks, and I think what the statutes contemplate is like a committee-wide decision, you know, a vote even to say we request these records from Access, you know, rather than just an individual saying, hey, I'd like these records. And then what if the committee is to vote as a whole and make a request, and that request is denied, there's a certain review mechanism that kicks in. Yeah. So I think following that, I know it sounds like more red tape, but honestly, sometimes just navigating the tools that are laid out in the law is the easiest way to go, because at the very least, it gives you you can, if you know, there was ever a question about whether you followed the right procedures, going through that is going to definitely be worth it. Well, I'm sure you do.
No, we do. And piggybacking on that, rather, I can't get it copied here for this group, our group here. Could we ask you to send out to our group?
Yeah, of course.
Our emails, rather than trying to get them here.
Yeah, I'll do that.
1450, so that then we're all on the same page as you are.
And again, I dealing with all these different types of committees, it's always.
I think I've been to every room in both rooms.
No.
You're the best of it. I know. My training
we
should have
put
in.
Him to work.
I know. I got my steps in.
It's so good to see you.
Good to see you.
Oh, and then one other aspect for TV going out in the field is that I've noticed, and I've asked, is that a lot of the agencies do not have any type of de-escalation group or such thing. Basically, if somebody acts up, like at the front desk or whatever, they're pushed out the door. Like at Kodak. And I've already...
You have written all that down in the debate somewhere.
Yeah, I sent it
to Jason.
To Melissa.
I'll check and see. I sent the link about Kodak.
And I asked in the peer event where the Dr. Barden was in, and he also admitted that there are no de-escalation people or anybody assigned for that type of situation. And at La Frontera, there's really nobody there either. I called over at Hope, they don't do it either. So it's kind of like they basically either call CIT or a MAC team, and they say they don't have any other responsibility.
So where are we?
Well, they can't touch them. Yeah. All they can do is talk them down, and the receptionist isn't trained to do that, but you can go for help, communication, or behavioral health, what?
Remember? I can speak to that. Well, was I at the meeting? I was present at the meeting. We don't have at Kodak. I can only speak to for Kodak.
Sure.
We don't have a specific de-escalation group, which that was the school was asked. But all of our staff, our clinical staff, do receive de-escalation right. training. Mm-hmm. That's part of their requirement as a staff person at Kodak. So we don't have a specific de-escalation group.
Well, when I was there, in two instances, they just looked as the guy was. Yeah, and they just looked on and just said the guy was out of his mind, and that was.
They said that?
Right out in public. And these were senior police managers that I know, and I used.
Did you call them on it?
They saw me, and all of a sudden started to make phone calls because they were like, because they saw me texting, and they were like, I could see, I could already hear, uh-oh. And, you know, this is going on.
So, again, that's a violation, and we could hope that that could be. You got a follow up on that?
Yeah,
if you
could send
me
a specific
date.
Yeah.
Not to take people out of the room.
Yeah, we'll have to have the date and some details in order for her to be able to.
I'll be checking that because I did send it off.
You sent it to
Melissa first.
I'll work on it if I send it to you. I'll forward it if you don't have
it. Follow up on that too. That's another follow up. Maybe we're checking on the follow ups. One is on transportation and the other is on de escalation. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask Jason. Thank you for being here, Sergeant Jason Linsky. I think you know everybody around the table here except for Chris. Chris is here representing the new DOA structure here in terms of that, and you'll be coming to our meetings and helping us get through all this maze. So he's been kind enough to take the notes, at least for this meeting, and we've got to do some housekeeping issues that's good. We have monthly work that we have, and we have it as well as put on some coaches to do it.
First, I just had a quick question. If there's any training or online thing I need to do, if that could be sent to me again, there was like an open meeting thing, and I'm not sure if I did that or not. I can't remember.
Yeah, I can send you a link to that.
There's a link to that. Whatever I need to do or sign online, I'll be happy to do that.
Yeah, I missed that as well.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then, like, maybe sign something at one point. That just wouldn't come on to the committee. You don't have to do that again.
Yeah, we're still working through whether the forms you signed with Access are sufficient or if we'll have to have you sign any other forms.
Because we've all signed the one with Access.
Right.
I just started that sentence.
Several times I've got to know. I don't know how to have it. But that's another follow-up thing as far as the contract you already signed up for.
I did send one group home, one resident boarding.
Yeah.
Yeah, 301 West Oklahoma.
301 West Oklahoma.
So that's down the south side, and we had some patrol officers go there. Nothing, and it has like a, I can't remember off the top of my head now, but it has a name. So it's one of these. It must be registered on some level, like it has a website. Nothing like jumped out real bad to the officers, but like there was just these little things that kind of kept coming up. So like one of the things is, and I don't even know if this is a violation, but I've never seen this before. So they had like wrought iron over the kitchen. so like,
oh,
the kitchen was completely locked up.
Oh.
Right, like, I think I have a picture of
it. The stove was incarcerated.
Yeah. It looked like almost like a holding cell. Like, like in a police facility. But, you know, we went to our lawyers and we started, maybe not that they really know anything about this, but, like, we were trying to figure out, like, well, what can, is, are there things that can lock there? You know, like, we're so not educated in this area and that. Really, for us, when we go into these homes, we're just looking for things that we've never seen before.
Let's do this too. I'd get a copy of our site. Did you check this for him too?
I just filled it out.
He has some a blank one.
Well, I just got the blank one.
The new one comes out on September 5th, too, so you know, but the new one in a couple of days, and Kodak and Lockham Fair, the collection of their wigs that they have. For Kodak and.
Do you have another checklist though, Bob?
Another blank one?
That's what you want, right?
Yeah, you can give that to the sergeant. Would you?
Oh, sure.
Let's just stay on this for a second so we don't lose it. Where the folks who are, appear to be seriously mentally ill, are they disabled, or the collections, you know?
It was both SMI and I think developmentally disabled.
Okay.
Both were in.
And do you know how many approximately individuals?
It's a bigger one.
Like,
there's quite a few people in the picture. But there was quite a few people.
So,
I was going to say maybe 10 to 12.
Okay, because I think I know where you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's right off of like 12th Avenue in Oklahoma, so it's down there.
You did?
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. A couple of years.
I got this.
The old one may not be the exact address, but they had like three of them. It's a couple.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I
might if there's a possibility it could be the name of home though.
Okay, DVD is up on the fifth floor. When we're done here, I'll also go up there and talk to Fran up there. She has another DVQA person.
Can you let me know?
Yeah, and so all we have is a 301 West.
Oklahoma?
Oklahoma. That's the movie.
Means the boat.
12th and Oklahoma.
Okay. Yeah, this is definitely like one of the more organized, you know, and
it was really nice. We didn't see
every piece of it. And if I find the picture, I'll get it out to everybody. But it just, I mean, obviously it's standing up, right? Like, you don't want to close these places. Again, I don't know.
Not you there, but was there a call?
There was a call there.
Okay.
And the call was just for, I think she loved it.
Oh.
But the officer that was there, I mean, definitely, it's not like the people had to be, like, it was to keep them out of the kitchen, right? You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
So, like, they didn't have any autonomy.
We're used to seeing chains around the refrigerator doors, but that seems a little bit. It's a little bit much.
I'll see if I can find out. The other thing, the other update that I have is we're going to be convening a meeting here, hopefully in the next 2 or 3 weeks, with a bunch of different stakeholders from our Superior Court system and our County Attorney's Office, the County Attorney's Office, the Sheriff's Department, the Police Department. We really want to look at some of this Title 36 stuff. I'm trying to get ahead of it this time.
Good.
Instead of kind of just reacting to everything that happened this last legislative session. I don't even know if we've been briefed on like what ultimately was passed or not passed. Bardo had that window that was like, I don't know if that whole thing failed or parts of it passed.
Did you check with Kate? Because she was out stepping up. I mean, I was there too, and they talked about Title 36, but it was in general.
Yeah, and the way the legislature seems to work is, I mean, if they put that much effort into it last year and they had two senators or whoever involved in it, and they didn't get anything done last year, like, same thing with the governor's school safety plan, like, literally, the whole thing is going away. Like, nothing got done. Well, a assuming he's re-elected, right? Or maybe not, but if he is, I mean, I would imagine that's going to come back too, and that had a lot of non-help complaints. I mean, that had non-help for staying in it, and training for teachers, and school resource officers. So, like, I just want to get the right people in the room, and if any of you are interested in attending that meeting, I'll forward that.
Yes, absolutely.
Because it's so confusing, and there's so, you know, you go to meetings sometimes, I mean, you'd really be shocked at what people think Title 36 is or is not, and misunderstanding. We don't know about it, but we have to do it every day. And we, as a police department, we didn't know anything really about it.
So, this projected meeting, there's going to be no time, place, location set up, that there will be
very soon, and I will get it out as soon as it's set with a date and time.
That's a follow-up then to...
The one thing I did learn about Title 36 at that meeting is each county administrates their own Title 36 program.
Which is weird because there's not like a different Title 36
so
law for each county.
Versions of
like,
they interpret it
completely different things than what we're using. So
just don't move out of Pima County.
And last session, you know, they dropped that legislation really late. And I remember even like Mary Lou at one point was running down into Capitol trying to provide some input. I just felt like we were completely behind the last session in terms of what it is that, you know, and I think especially groups like this could really have a voice in, you know, what it is that, you know, we think can be changed, and, you know, from almost like more of the advocate or the practitioner side of things. Because in a few meetings that I was able to go to this last session, I got there, because a lot of it was just the big hospitals. That are in those rooms with the elected officials just saying, you know, well, these patients are languishing in our EDs. You know, that was the, like, the thrust of it, you know,
right,
last time. Which could be, that, I mean, it probably is. I mean, that could be an issue, but I think we do have all these other, you know, concerns. Like, if, you know, if we're going to open the hood, let's say, on 36, which is kind of what it felt like we did last time, and go line by line and look at everything, then let's look at everything, and we might have stuff about training. There's juvenile issues that I've addressed in Title 36 that we've struggled with. You know, Title 36 essentially still like use children as copies. We've been running a really significant topic where, you know, we had, just one example, I won't put you on the news, but like, we had a case not long ago where, you know, we had a mom that had full custody, legal custody, power of attorney, medical decisions, school decisions. She has another piece of paper in her divorce or whatever a custody agreement you would want to have. Yeah. And we had a high school kid that was self-harmed by cutting himself. And she was going to put him in the CRC. So we put him in the CRC, and Dad was completely estranged, showed up and checked him out. Like 20 minutes later, and we went all the way to like Superior Court on that. And the statute did not provide any remedy for that. And like you could be an absentee mother or father, you could live in Michigan and call the CRC and say, you do not have my consent, and you get there and be a complete like absentee parent.
All her legal things were ignored.
Not ignored. I mean, she was the one that was there at the school. She said, take him there, I will follow you there, I will sign him in. So all that went the way it was supposed to. Somehow, you know, Dad becomes aware that he's there. Dad's response is, you know, my kid is done that, you know, so he drives down there, and there was no remedy to really stop that. And Title 6 did not speak to that at all, really. And, you know, obviously, this guy's going to be being sued by Dad now, or, you know, whatever else, but, like that could be such a simple fix in the law, which just says, you know, because in other chapters and other statutes of the IRS, it goes into great detail about all the power that mom has. So, really, you can just have one, because we check with our lawyers, our police members, and you just have one line in Title 36 that says, you know, whatever it says in Title 8. You know, in terms of decision making, applies to Title 36. But you know, but it's like a relatively easy fix. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think there's a lot of little things like that that if they're going to go through this whole thing again next year, if we could have some ideas kind of just ready to go before we're just leaving a draft.
So who's going to be heading up this?
We are. It'll be us and the county. So it'll be a Tucson Police Department and the Phoenix County Attorney's Office kind of
working on that. That's good.
The county attorneys, like, they have a lot of this stuff there too.
Right.
And they can speak to, like, a lot of the real kind of technical.
Yeah, when you're laying down for the English, right. Whereas.
So we'll have Paula Pereira there.
Okay.
She's on the email list.
Well, this is good, and hire some people, maybe I'll want to.
Yeah.
Go ahead and other reports.
That's all I've got for you.
Did you send my email? That's all I want to know.
I did. I just want to talk at the end.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thank you, Megan. I know you're trying, like all of us, is even more limited. Prices. Site visits, Judy and I know went out on a site preview. We're going to just get real brief because I know we're
okay.
Behind.
This was on the east side of town, and it's run by a husband and wife who do not live on the premises. They have 6 beds. They have 4 males and 1 female, and all the clients were from Los Enteros. The amount she charges, if somebody can't clean their own room and things like that and do their own laundry, then she charges $600 a month. Otherwise, it's $400 to $450 or $555 to $580. The furniture was okay. The couch springs were shot. I mean, I sat on the couch and went down to the floor. Information that she shared with me, I ended up talking to the owner, manager, whatever, and Ken went outside and talked to 3 of the residents. No drugs, no alcohol on premises, no smoking in the house. They find out about the facility, the provider gives them a list of places to look at, but they don't recommend any, and they don't tell them to go check these out or anything like that. The residents prepare their own breakfast and lunch at their own leisure, and the owner-manager provides the evening meal between 5 and 7 at night. BHCC?
HCC?
HCC is the term for case managers. Visit residents occasionally. And they visit residents occasionally, or sometimes they go to the client, the resident goes to the case manager. Each one has their own lockbox and keeper for medication storage. They are not reminded to take medications. The operator doesn't read anything on it. They don't open the medications. They don't distribute or pour it out. They don't observe it. And they don't have a key to the lockbox. However, she said she does notice if the behavior starts to change, then she'll call the case manager. She very rarely gets any response from the case manager. It's a furnished unit, and there's no pest control. Meals, as I said, were on their own, except dinner was between 5 and 7. They're allowed seconds. There's snacks available to clients, minimal. And then they can store snacks in their room, but they have to be off the floor, and non-perishables. And they have access to the kitchen. And so they can keep perishables in there and mark them as theirs, and they're supposed to honor that. It's an honor system. Evacuation routes. She said, well, we're supposed to all meet across the street at the fire hydrant.
Okay.
There are working fire and smoke alarms. Did the service provider recommend this location? No. There's no staff on duty regular hours other than for the evening meal. They bring it in, they cook it elsewhere at their residence and bring it in. And they're on their own all the rest of the time. is there a training for staff? And she said, yeah, the provider gives them a little training, and then he's a, her husband's a pastor at some church, and she's a licensed evangelist, and they've received training through their church on how to treat people. It was pretty general, but I tell you what, she had a good heart.
Yeah,
really good heart. And the rights are, clients' rights are posted, and that needs, if somebody's retyping this, that needs to be changed to RIGHTS. There's no curfew. Everyone has a key to their front door. They also have a key to their own room. There's no disciplinary, there is disciplinary procedures in place. If you smoke inside, if you drink or do drugs, then you might be asked to leave. There's no activities provided. And Kenny interviewed three people, and the only one, when you go down the whole list about meals, feeling safe, rules of facility, money management, treatment of staff, treatment by other residents, living conditions, everybody said that was okay except for, money management, they manage their own money. They take care of their own daily activities. Transportation, she sometimes provides transportation. Like when I was leaving, she was taking one young man up to Burger King and one lady to the grocery store, which was right in the same shopping center. Ken said they seem pretty satisfied with their life in general. They have privacy. Nobody has any adaptive devices such as walker wheelchairs. They do have contact with the HCC. That's the case manager, if you don't know. We found nothing to conflict with the resident's statement. They do store their own medication. Are they reminded to take them? This is talking to the residents themselves. No. Are the labels read to you? No. Do you pour your own? Yes. Does the staff watch you? No. Are medications kept in locked rooms? Boxes? Yes. Does staff have a key to your unit? Yes. Staff has a key to the bedrooms, but not to the lock boxes for medication. And do you have a key to your unit? Yes. Are there any identifications of abuse, staffing issues, safety or living room or living issues, substantial medication problems? No. Are there issues with furniture, we put springs or shot on the couch? And some things are a bit worn, but other than that, she did remodel her kitchen last year. Are there any issues with units not cleaned or maintained? They're responsible for their own rooms, and she does some of the other cleaning. They didn't see any storage or spoilage problems with food, and didn't appear to be any violation of rights. Who gets that? It's called Portland House. So she ends up calling either 911 or the mobile crisis.
I can start. Residents seem generally, Mom's there several years, I've been there. Well, it's just there a couple of years, a couple of weeks.
Yeah, that's the one that was on the Burger King.
Is this in the city of Tucson?
Yeah.
Okay. I just, for the minutes, I want to make sure. Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we're out, we're in the county.
This is in the city, yeah, near Cove and Dawson's.
And Barbara and I did one on the 25th of July. We went to another of Ruth Dempsey's places, this particular address was 8850 East Rose Tree, and it isn't a nice development. It took us trips to actually find the place, but once we did, it was very nice. Not a lot of furniture, but the furniture was quite nice that was in there. Large rooms, they had a huge TV in there, bigger than any TV I've ever seen. large kitchen. I didn't see anything remarkable about the kitchen. It's not particularly used because they bring the meals in. And the only problem I saw with that was that they come in sporadically. Breakfast is usually like around 8:30. Lunch had not been served at that point, and it was like 2 o'clock, and they were still waiting for their lunch to arrive. And Tad, the owner's husband, came in while we were there and brought food. And the same thing with dinner. They know that dinner will come, just don't know exactly when. And they cook it off-site and then bring it in. So that's a bit problematic for people who might be diabetic or whatever and need to eat on a regular basis. But there didn't seem to be any issues with any of that at the point when we were there. They have 8 beds. And 5 residents, all of whom were women at that point. The residents did not all have a diagnosis of SMI. There was a person in there who had a physical debilitating situation. And we did speak with someone who had been SMI, but she's been on medication for 40 years or something like that. Was very much in charge. Again, the owners do not live on the premises. They come. They do have a housekeeper who comes in and does help with getting the rooms clean and that sort of thing. But it's a group home where everybody is responsible for taking care of themselves and each other, and they do a nice job. I will say that we were met at the door by a screaming, outrageous, just scary person. Scary, scary person. And what we were told by the other two residents with whom we spoke was that she was on nicotine withdrawal, that she was not doing, she didn't have her cigarettes, and Tad was going to go get her some, because I really, it wasn't just nicotine withdrawal, this woman needed to be in the hospital as far as I was concerned. She was in really bad shape, and I felt badly for the other residents that they had to put up with that. She was really out of control. But they seemed to, they just kind of, they were blasé about it. They were just like, well, she needs to sit down. God, I wish I spoke up, give her one right this minute. But other than that, it was pretty good.
Is there going to be a follow-up, you think, for this?
Well, yeah.
I've had my Tasmanian devil, is what I thought.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, and I know that's okay. But the point is she was actually fine, because when Tad showed up, she was a totally different behavior.
Yes.
It was chosen behavior.
Yes.
Just the behavior with her. And everybody was cool with it.
They weren't.
I felt, you know, in my observation of her, she just, one that she apparently got away with. And so she wasn't dangerous to others, wasn't dangerous to self. She was just a little whirling dervish.
She was very, very perturbed.
And it was her way to it was attention.
Yeah.
So, but everybody was really chill with it, which I thought was pretty neat.
Yeah, they just walked. You know, they just kept moving beyond that. They were used to it. I was not used to it. She was coming out. She had a hairbrush in her hand. And I thought, oh, God, if she gets really upset and throws that hairbrush at somebody. And she seemed to want to do it to me. So anyway, that was the only real concern I had.
What about on that card that said medication reminders?
They swear there is no such thing as medication reminders.
Well, she's got it written right there.
I know she does. And this is the first I've seen that.
I love Ruth. I think she's a wonderful gal. She wasn't there that day. She was at training. She's a nurse. And but I'm surprised that she would put that on there because I believe she knows better. These are all unlicensed, so she knows better. So that's a little surprising to me.
Yeah, I haven't even looked at this. Mm-hmm. But
so I don't know.
The only other concerns that I had were just little things like. In the past, when we've been to one of her houses, she has a nice file on each individual. And with this particular group, there was only, the file only contained the application for them to move into the house, which I thought was kind of odd, considering her other place that we've looked at. She had that. There's not a lot of posting, but the posting that we didn't see was where the exits were. Well, it's fairly obvious. There's a front door and there's a back door, and you know that's it. So the five people that live there have lived there for a long time, and they know their way around. But there was no posting for that. If there are any disciplinary issues, they just call 911 and get someone to come and help. But beyond that, everything that was answered was the correct answer. And so I didn't see any real issues. I was concerned about Michelle and the way she was behaving. More for the other people.
Yeah. Any questions as far as follow-up?
The medication.
Medication. That was one of the surprise reminders.
Yeah, we had to check on that.
Maybe just to kind of follow up on that.
But the conversation surprised me that when parents listen, they say, well, on so-and-so, I will.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah.
Well, they can't do it.
Yeah. So, so there is a reminder going on.
It's still wrong.
Yeah. They shouldn't be doing it.
I'll follow up on that. I'll follow up on that.
Really quick before we move off.
Sure, because we'll make
it. Here's the picture.
Here's the picture of the kitchen.
Of the kitchen.
Although, my word.
Although, think about it. So lock up the kitchen like we've seen. Once the doors have to be locked, it's chained on the refrigerator, chains on the doors. I kind of get that. At least they painted it off-white, you know, so it's not black.
I'm just saying, it went to a lot of effort there.
Because it is really hard to lock down those kitchens, and with the state of... some of the people, I get it. I get it.
I think it's just a check.
But I get it.
That is the question.
But it does, you know, but these people had refrigerators in each room.
Because now that I'm looking at this,
I saw it upside down.
I'm not going to wait on the thing.
There's no way.
Well.
That needs to be looked at. Many places we'll go and there's big trays of trees. Wow, tables.
That's my other question is if that's the only other exit besides
the front door. That needs to be looked at. One West Oklahoma, right?
Yeah.
So before you, you know.
I'll get to you because you can also notify Bob Olcott across the hall here.
I just talked to him days ago, and he could be helpful to make a site visit there as far as that.
You have to do with housing stuff.
So. Thank you. Good report. Thank you, Sergeant, also for getting that out because we've got a potential fire here that's going to be trapped. Again, see, this is what we're doing. We're trying to be proactive. We're not trying to see how can we avoid situations that might lead to. anything else before we, what I'd like to is to refer as far as the mechanical, any updates?
Just from what you guys asked, some of it for Susan, so I'll have to scan it and send it to her, but I brought it in case she does want it too. So she asked for how somebody becomes a provider with us. And then she also asked about the single case agreement. So, like, if you want to see a provider that we're not contracted with, the application for that and how you have to go about that. So, I'll pass it around if you want.
At least for Susan to see.
Yeah. Okay. And another thing that was asked is how many days does a provider have to give you, like, individual counseling? Like, how many days does a provider, are they required to provide that service? So that's in this document. Well, I don't know if Susan asked about that one. She asked about the other two. I don't remember.
Well, she probably knows it, but she's trying to verify it.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. Could be the case with Susan, yeah, because
she's done that before. Okay.
And then for the boarding home report, I told you I have the updated one. So now we have the housing department, we have it in writing now that if they don't send it in and it's not accurate, they know that there's going to be some type of corrective action. So that's in writing now. So
yeah, how many are on there?
A lot. But we're missing Kodak and La Frontera. Cope is going to send theirs on the 5th.
Okay, so that'll be completed at least up to the 5th of...
Yeah, it'll have all of them. They should all be complete on September 5th. One of the things that they brought up is that, you know, sometimes they close early or the telephone numbers switch really often. So what I'd like to do, and what I said to them, is as soon as you send me the report, I'm going to start calling and verifying. That way, if the information has changed, when you guys go out or you call, we'll know.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
It's 8 this time, but there's a lot of basically there's one for clients, so there's a lot of repetition.
Right, and
I still have that on my list to get to the total number once we get the September 5th one back, because we don't have the other one
so
yet.
So that's a follow up then for the September 3rd, as far as the completed.
I think I could have
I'm sorry, what was the follow up?
To get the completed list of given board locations,
boarding
addresses,
homes,
and information from some
paddock. Okay. And you wanted to know the total number of the boarding homes, right?
Well, that'd be in there because
it'd be in there
for the repeated 7 sites, 6 or 7 clients in that one home, but at least you could get a summation of where we are, kind of a snapshot of today.
You guys also asked if there's any type of information for the mental health first aid as far as TBIs or traumatic brain injuries, and we have something from you to that presentation. So I did contact Tina Sargent, who is on my team, and she does the mental health first aid. So once I hear back from her, if it's maybe, I don't think it's included, but if it maybe you guys then talked about including it or plans to include it, we're going to have to give you guys that information.
Any comments, questions? Okay, look, easier part of the meeting, but more probably the most difficult bit of all consensus is the fact about the meeting. If you met on Wednesdays, you meet on the third Wednesday.
Fourth Wednesday.
The fourth Wednesday, not here, I'm not this week.
Oh, sorry.
I'm talking about DED.
Yeah, yeah.
You represent the third.
Correct.
Wednesday at 1:30. So.
Oh no. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maricopa is the third Wednesday. For DDD Tucson is fourth Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So we're talking in terms of some DDS to move forward, and Tuesday and Monday, Thursday. And then other people have expressed we changed this for I think the Joe and some others. I think this Susan, and I just called Susan this morning, Susan Marino, that is, to see if Wednesday, the fourth Wednesday, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday, for example, even the fourth Tuesday sometimes is fine. If we met a fourth Wednesday or 10:30 here. Would that work for everyone?
Not particularly. I'm supposed to be at work at 11:30.
So that won't work.
And I can't change my workday because I share a desk and point and work.
The only thing that you could do is probably if you start a little earlier tomorrow, that's fine.
Well, I don't, you know, I don't want to cause any problems. It's really not an issue for me, so you can leave the front schedule.
So then we'll just stick to the retain the Tuesday. Is that okay with everyone? Just trying to.
No, I don't want to interfere with the committee's work.
So, no, you could do it. We're always at fixed time.
Yeah, because I share a desk with you, but you make coffee.
No,
she works Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and I work Wednesday, Friday.
So we'll keep on and when we're done here, Chris and I are going to walk over and get a room that's set up that's accommodating with the proper audio so we can get Joe and others who can't make it on that. And I'll hear from the sergeant as far as when you have a date for that symposium and then follow up here with the transportation, follow up with the de-escalation, follow up with the situation. Is that okay? We'll meet with the agenda for 12:15 on this. Any other closing comments or anything to add to it?
I would just like to make sure I have everyone's name. So I'm going to guess. So don't get mad at me if I. So Dave, Melissa, Connie, Jason, Barbara, Michelle, Ken, Judy, Paul.
You got it all.
Okay. Good
job. Too bad. See, and contrary to what you hear, we're not too bad, are we?
No. not too bad.
Well, who knows? There's other groups in there, I guess. Congenial.
No,
I'm trying to accommodate and be flexible, and obviously we're a role here. We're all volunteers, yeah. Number one. So.
No, I look forward to working with all of you.